shorts and bag.
That's a nasty looking finger, lady.
You got the bait?
What? No.
Hey, I got your fertilizer.
We made you.
Welcome back, interweb friends. This is Stop the Movie I Want to Get Out. Hollywood makes bad movies. We make fun of them.
How many times you said that now?
Too many.
I think this is like episode 114 or
something,
or
so. Something like that. So, yep, quite a few.
You've only been here for half of them.
It was half.
I'm going to mess it up one of these times.
It might be less.
It's less than half now. I think. Yeah. And this is my first time in the new studios, by the way.
In the glamorous new Stop the Movie Studios. Yeah. Yeah.
Much better than the cave.
Yes,
I feel like we say that every like 10 episodes. Like, oh, we're in a new studio this week.
Yeah. We probably didn't celebrate enough the new mixer, which I'm sure for people at home was really the landmark moment where they were like, hey, this is so much better sounding.
I can hear him now.
I am your concierge, Alex Dunbar.
That's the word. That's
what you're trying to
say? That was it, concierge.
That's it. Yep, that makes total sense.
Curator, concierge, curator. Whatever.
I'm here with two of my co-hosts. I'm here with Andy Wolf.
Hello.
And Cody Wolf.
Hello.
Brian Muir will be joining us later in this episode from the future. He'll be coming in.
He's going to come through the bubble.
Yeah.
Which makes no sense.
That makes no sense.
You know, time travel movies drive me nuts.
Were you here for Sound of Thunder? I feel like you weren't.
No.
Because I feel like you would still be ranting about Sound of Thunder if you saw it. Yeah.
Oh, the time ripples or whatever.
Oh, the time. Look out, a time wave. Yeah, you would be going crazy. There's no time travel logic in that.
I feel like in this one, they didn't worry about it. It's just like, hey, this is how we do in time travel.
They did just sort of put it out there as like,
no,
take it or
like paradoxes, or it was just kind of like.
No, at one point we'll get to that. They set up a paradox and then they're like, no, it's not a paradox, but there's another reason why we can't do it. Our movie is 1998's Lost in Space, the reboot no one was looking for of a TV show that ran for 3 seasons and most of the population I feel like had forgotten it aired. And then they came out with a giant budgeted movie.
Another one like Dark Shadows, where what was your target audience you were going for? People my age, obviously, at the time.
I was interested in seeing it when I was a kid. No, I liked it when I was a kid.
Yeah, but why were you interested?
I think it was some.
It was a fun space movie for, I think.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, Dark Shadows is like all over the place. This one had like a, at least it stuck with a genre.
Well, the thing that surprised me about this is it seems to show some allegiance to the 60s TV show, which I think is misplaced, and that they should have let go of a lot of that. Like, the need to kind of hit some, like, 60s TV show points. Like, this movie is way too much danger, Will Robinson. Where I was like
no,
the fourth time they did
it,
that, I was like,
I did it twice,
oh.
I think.
That's what I liked. That's what I was looking for.
Well,
you had to have Danger Will Robinson.
You had to have somebody say it, but they're saying it in that goofy 50s voice when so much
of the same guy.
It's the same voice.
Yeah.
A lot of the rest of this movie wants to be taken seriously, sometimes very seriously.
Well, yeah.
But then it's, you know, doing that kind of.
But as a fan, like, because I grew up on it, you know, there's things I wanted, and it failed miserably on a couple things for me. But at least they had the guy's voice and Danger Will Robinson.
I feel like they either, well, I don't think they should have rebooted the actual Lost in Space show. I felt multiple times during this movie, well, to talk about this, I feel like Lost in Space was the inspiration for, like, this movie was the inspiration for every major science fiction movie that's come out since it.
I'm just amazed that they let like a 14-year-old run the navigation or whatever the hell she was running.
Oh,
well, she's running the weapons or something, wasn't she? The weapons system operator.
Are you talking about Lacey? Penny? Well, we'll get. Oh, yeah. I don't know. I still don't understand. Penny's job seemed to be a combination of Scotty and Spock on the Enterprise.
Yeah,
so
like,
I don't.
She's like
understand.
14,
and maybe Dr. McCoy too. I don't. It didn't make sense. All right. So Lost in Space. I think once again we get some voiceover over shots of Earth, where.
Do we?
Or something.
I feel because they're talking about the gate or whatever.
William Hurt is talking about something like they need to find a new planet because Earth is used up. And there's like a throwaway line where he's like, but terrorists want something else. And I feel like that's pretty much what it said. It didn't even really say what terrorists wanted. They just didn't want that.
They just want to stop this whole
like, don't
this whole plan.
Yeah, don't go look for another planet. Like, what is that's what the terror group is based on? Don't go exploring.
They want the planet dead. And
I mean, it seems like most terror groups have more. Cobra had a better goal than that. But okay, and we get an action scene.
We start off with the worst freaking opening of a movie I've ever sat through.
I was,
but again, as a kid, I like
full of cliches and
all the lines like, oh yeah. For, what was the last one? Kill one buys the beer or something like that.
How about this Cold War just got hotter? I right there almost said, I'm out. You guys got this one on
3 minutes
own.
In, I'm done.
Yeah, this Cold War just got hotter.
I don't know too why the one guy is like, his voice is all weird. Like, yeah. That was a weird, like, choice. Like, that's not that guy's actual voice.
And it's like, is his voice that weird that affected his acting? Or is his acting that shit? Because
the guy from Walking Dead, I think. It's the Morgan from the first episode of Walking Dead.
Is it?
I think it's that guy. And he's a good actor in Walking Dead. And he doesn't talk like that. Like, I don't understand. Like,
I genuinely think, and this is so sad, I think they needed to give him a hook for when he comes back later.
That's what
later.
I was watching, like, so you recognize who it is.
So you recognize who it is. And I'm like, but that was the hook, that he had, like, a scratchy voice. Yeah, he did. Yeah, he sounded kind of like the lady from Poltergeist. And I was like, okay. So Matt LeBlanc as Major Don
West.
Great
casting there.
Well, this whole movie,
he delivered the comedic lines very well.
Did he?
There were some comedic lines where it's like, he did the face, he did the...
He played Joey
pretty
well.
For the comedic lines.
In this movie. His part seemed to... Because in the beginning of the
film... I'll say he was better in this than he was in Ed.
Well, that's probably true. Well, at different points in the movie, like in these opening scenes, he seems to be doing a different character from Joey. But later in the film, I just felt like he was playing Joey. So I don't.
Definitely.
Some days were, I don't know if he. I'm sure he was doing this and Friends simultaneously.
He was going back and forth.
Yeah.
It was just tough to see him trying to be a tough guy.
It didn't.
With the walk and all that, it's kind of like, oh, what are you doing?
It didn't go so well. I mean, he was a hot commodity when they were making this. I mean, Friends was blowing up. I'm sure Warner Brothers was. You know, Warner Brothers was a Friends show.
Do you know who they? I'm sorry, I'm eating as I do this. I was reading, do you know who they offered it to before?
I can only imagine.
They offered it to Matthew Perry first, who's Chandler from Friends.
Whoa. I'm
pretty sure that's...
Really?
I'm pretty sure I read that, yeah.
My God. David Schwimmer was also in the mix for this. Wow.
I'm pretty sure they offered... I don't know if they offered to him, they're considering it, but Matthew Perry was in the mix at one point before.
That's pretty crazy. Okay. So anyway, Matt LeBlanc shoots down a terrorist, and we learn that...
See, this is cool, but again, when I was a kid, I enjoyed this scene. Like, I wanted that, the toy, I think I actually had the ships I thought were cool, and...
I didn't, considering, for 1998, some of the CG in this movie is not terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
Some
the space
of it
stuff
is
pretty good.
Outrageous. When we get to spiders, we can talk about that CG, but some of the
space
stuff...
The spiders look great compared to the alien little creature.
Ooh,
little
that was
cartoon drawn into the frame.
But the spaceship stuff, actually, I was surprised how well some of it held up. And this sequence, actually, taken out of the context of the movie, I was like, no, it's not bad. There's some decent, you know, for 98, I was like, this is not bad CG, you know, sci-fi
I just thought
action.
Those were some very poorly designed battleships, whatever you want to call them.
There's no protection.
Hamster bubble,
yeah.
I don't know.
You would think like one shot and you're dead, which kind of is what happens to that one dude. He's like, one shot and he's done. Yeah. It's like the Mazda Miata.
Yeah,
like
I feel like
ships.
I'm like, geez, I need something here. Some metal between me and everything else, please.
Yeah.
That says glass.
But, like, so Matt LeBlanc saves his friend, and we move on to learn that the Robinson... Well, we got to talk... Okay, let's talk a little about the casting in this movie. Because I think this movie was either cast by they were picking names out of a hat, or two different people were casting it and were not talking to each other. Because you're not going to see Matt LeBlanc and William Hurt in a movie again.
Or Gary Oldman, forever.
Yeah. Gary Oldman and Lacey Charvet. who... What was happening?
But who do you
there?
Think they picked what right? Like, I think Gary Oldman was perfect.
Oh, I thought he was great.
Gary Oldman is good.
He was perfect. And I thought the kid was a
I thought the
good
kid
will.
Was okay. I well, actually thought.
I didn't mind Lisa Chabert, though. I, like, loved her as a kid in this movie. Maybe that's why.
I did too, as an adult.
I'm going to just sit here quietly.
But I like the character. I mean, I thought her character was fine in the movie. I thought she did fine with it. I mean, for what it is.
Would you like more Penny Vision? Could we get you more
flogging? That's very futuristic. There,
they're looking for more Penny Vision. Yes.
Yeah,
that's vlogging right now. I actually they're predicting the future.
Heather Graham, the script doesn't give her anything to do.
Heather Graham is her character is.
Her character is very undefined, but I actually thought she was okay. She's probably getting the worst of this bad script. Well, but I thought she was holding it together for what they were giving.
Right. The thing that threw me off with Heather Graham when I saw it in the theater was that I just watched Boogie Nights. And I was like, wait a minute.
We all know.
I was like, wait, Roller Girls and Lost Space? My kids show? Here's Roller Girl?
Yep. And William Hurt, I would pay a lot of money to sit in on a meeting where someone's like...
He's the one I didn't like in the movie.
He
the character and the actors is all
There's no energy or emotion, right. He's like a vacuum for emotion to the point where... I mean, he's clearly trying to kind of like bring it down a little bit or try to underplay it, but it's near death. Yeah. I mean, this is almost like Stallone and over the top level.
Yeah. Especially later on in the movie, towards the end, it's like...
Well, and especially like because you have Gary Oldman, who's like really going over the top because the character is over the top. And then you have like, you know, the father like, science projects or whatever. It's just like not...
Because Gary Oldman... Exciting at all. Weirdly, like Gary Oldman and William Hurt's characters barely interact. I think there's only like one or two scenes where they really have an extensive conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't think they do, except for...
And then they're separated by the movie for a lot, and probably because it would if they had had more scenes together, it would have been crazy because they're both on such opposite ends of approaching this material.
Yeah.
So the Robinsons they're going to build a Stargate. It is a Stargate. I mean, that's basically what they're talking about.
It's like a warp gate to go from one planet to another.
And they're so what the plan is, they're going to go out there, his little family, and build the Stargate.
They have to build the other one.
They have to build the...
They're going to build it.
Yeah.
Professor Robinson and Mrs. Professor Robinson.
Yes. Well, that's why they're all scientists.
And Lacey Charbet or whatever.
Lacey Charbet and the 3 pounds of eye makeup she's wearing.
They're going to build a Stargate.
Yes.
And a robot.
That's the hotshot pilot Don West, Matt LeBlanc, who gets added to this, even though he says it's a babysitting mission. Also casually mentioned early on, where Will Robinson at one point is like, "Hey, Dad, I invented time travel," and like Professor Robinson's like, "Not now, son. I've got Matt LeBlanc to yell at." I was like, "Wow!" I'm like, "It's not even a callback. Like, you're basically telling me, like, you know,
gonna come into play."
Yeah.
Now the thing that really pissed me off in when I first saw this was, this was a typical thing they do now and back then with.
Now and 20 years ago.
Well, I guess they're still doing it, but it's like the family has to have family issues. And
but I thought that added to, like, I was thinking about that. I know, I was thinking about it. Gave it story.
Well, that's what I thought. I was thinking too, is kind of like they have to have a story.
Yeah, because the story Lost in Space is they crash on a planet and they're stuck on a planet.
But then it's like, they didn't have to go with that. Couldn't they have done something else? I just, the whole family not getting along and I guess learning to get along later.
I think there's real questions about if any lessons are learned. There's sort of like a lesson learned at the end. Like the it's very quick. Like that arc, like it's a real long build up on that arc and then a quick finish. And kind of comically at the end. And then also Gary Oldman is playing a terrorist who... we're gonna have to skip around a little bit because this movie is also intolerably long. It was like 2 hours.
I was right when I put it in. I'm like, I forgot it was like 2 hours long. But
he gets double crossed by the terrorists he's working for, and he gets stranded on the ship that the Robinsons are taking off on to go to the other side of the galaxy.
Yes, he gets on the ship and he sets the robot to at like 16 hours into the mission to destroy everything and kill the family and destroy the mission, and then he gets stuck on the ship too.
He gets stuck on the ship.
So when he wakes up, he is frantically trying to stop that from happening now.
Right, because the robot is going to destroy the ship and destroy them.
Yeah.
Can we also talk about, this is a real random note, but when the Robinson's ship is actually taking off and you're cutting back and forth to Mission Control, the character in Mission Control is sweating uncontrollably. I mean, like, like, well, it looked very like hot a in volume room. Of water is yeah, coming it, off of his face. Like,
and I think he's overdubbed quite heavily too, isn't he?
Yeah, like I don't it's know like, what's like, this is the most stressful like. Like it was a choice. It had to be a choice, but I didn't understand it because we have no context on this character, and he's just like, it looks like he is in a shower. Yeah, like that's how much water is coming off of his face. I kept waiting for that to be explained, and it didn't. They lift off.
And I saw the Jupiter the spaceship. Like, oh cool, okay. At least they're keeping that.
Yeah.
But like the original, because I love that spaceship in the original.
Right.
It's like, this is fantastic.
Right,
and that was just an outer shell.
That was the booster stage,
and I was like,
"Yeah, I'm well, they can't leave. Have them in 1998. Have them flying around.
Come
a
on, you gotta have his flying saucer. It's the coolest thing.
Because nobody, because this is the this whole issue. Nobody in 1998 was gonna be like, "Yay, it's the shit. It's from that cheap '60s show."
I was gonna be like that.
That's why they gave you a little homage to it.
That's why they gave you an homage. That's why you know,
stay the saucer.
You were also the guy who was like, "A Dark Shadows movie, certainly." Where do you want my money?
I did not go see that in the theater, by the way. This one I did, because I took him and his brother.
So, well, all right, so they, suddenly the robot, because Professor Smith has reprogrammed the robot. They go into deep freeze.
And the only thing that's bad is that really cheesy, bad mask coming over him.
Well, like, you know, I know, but it's 98. Like, you know what? It's 1998.
I know, but at some point they could have been like, you know what? Let's pull that back and do something different. Because later on the ship, their helmets do something.
Yes.
I was like, wow, you couldn't even tell that was CG. That was pretty good.
It was the inconsistent CG. That effect, you're right. That effect didn't look good. It didn't have the proper shading.
It takes you out of a moment for a moment.
So the robot is like trying to kill everything, and then Professor Smith is like, "Oh, I can't have this robot kill everyone because I'm on this ship too, and if it kills everyone." So he wakes up the Robinsons and is like, "Wake up." No, he doesn't even tell them. Wake up. And then he hides. They wake up, there's a robot trying to kill everyone, and
then he like hits his own head on a like a piece of metal, so it looks like he was attacked too or something.
Yes.
Well, he's immediately identified as a terrorist, even though he did that, because he's got the burn in his hand.
Right. Which didn't work at all. Yeah, it didn't work at all.
It wasn't even like they waited for like an hour or something. Right. Like,
and then he cuts a deal because they want to kill him, and he's like, "I'm the only one who can save Heather Graham." So he saves Heather Graham, and they don't kill him. But that deal seems to go through the rest of the movie, I guess.
They lock him up in a lab or something where he could.
Yeah, no, William Hurt did want to kill him.
Yeah.
And he was going to kill him, but then he didn't want to kill him in front of his kid or whatever. And his father was a warrior.
He's trying to separate himself from his father.
He doesn't want to be a monster.
Yeah.
And it's the eyes of his son, so he decides to let him live.
They decided to let him live, but like that situation is never really revisited. Although like Professor Smith is like, or Dr. Smith or whatever it is, he's dangerous all the way through.
No, I mean Matt LeBlanc does threaten to kill him like six times.
Yeah, there was another time he said that. Yeah. I didn't say how long.
And they also set up what is now my favorite arc in any movie we've done, which is the arc on the Matt LeBlanc and Heather Graham characters, where LeBlanc is basically like,
he starts right off the bat. He starts.
He's like, "Hey, we're young and good looking. What's going on? Hey there, lady friend."
I do like how, like, even later on when he thinks he's like redeeming himself and becoming like, "Okay, I can't be like that." As soon as like she gives anything, he's like, is right back into it like an idiot.
Yeah, he's.
I kind of like that because he's so like.
But it
dumb.
Gives it kind of this crazy arc because initially. Well, I feel like this is Heather Graham's arc. He's coming on 100% from like moment one, and very early on, she's completely standoffish, and she's like, you know, "You're a loser." Then she's kind of like, okay, like she's kind of talking with them. They kind of like bond a little bit, but I felt like midway through the movie, I'm like, the only way this arc can possibly be resolved is if they're having like Karma Sutra sex in front of the whole Robinson family at the end of the movie. Like, any other resolution to this is not going to work as a character arc. You know, like, where is this going to go? I really thought that was going to be the end of the movie.
I mean, you expect, like, cliched would be, she, you know, he comes around and he becomes a nice guy or whatever. But really, she just comes around to him being a jerk at the end of the movie. And she's like, oh, okay, whatever.
Well, you're still the same as you were. Like,
listen, we're lost in space.
We're lost in space. I'm horny sometimes, so I can't do it with Dad or Will.
Yeah, everyone else is related to me. And that Lacey's Dr. Underage. Smith character seems pretty sketchy. So, okay, so that's going on. They eventually, so they have to activate their hyperdrive to save
themselves. They're like falling into the gravitational pull of the sun.
Yeah, but how close can you get to the sun? I mean,
it's the future. They're in a spaceship.
Some pretty good heat shields. I mean, they're like freaking right. Don't they go through it?
Well, they have to hyperdrive through it.
They hyperdrive through it.
I guess maybe if you hyperdrive through it, but they're pretty damn close to the sun.
They were. Which was not a
terrible thing. Any heat shield made by man is going to freaking burn up.
Let's go back and watch the Lost in Space series and see how much ridiculous stuff was in that.
There's nothing ridiculous in that. Yeah, it was all up in, you know.
They find...
Stood up to...
Everything. You're right. Everything holds scientific up on logic. That show. we've mentioned it briefly. Lacey Charbet, within this movie, there's a mini TV series which is called Penny Vision, complete with its own graphics package.
It has a logo,
which
bug.
I really enjoyed. When I don't know when Penny came up with that.
Well, I'm sure Will did it. Will is a technical whiz.
Oh, that's true. He is a technical. So she is a vlog, and
this is year 31 something, isn't it?
No, it's like 2085 or something like that.
Oh, is it? I thought I heard it was like 31 something.
I think
something
it's only 20%.
And it's I thought this was
might still be like
intolerable.
Or 2185. It was like 20. I think it was still. It wasn't 3,000. I think it was 2,000 something. Like 2185.
It was intolerable. This wasn't
terrible. This stuff was brutal.
Yeah.
The movie. The little momentum the movie had ground to a halt every time the Penny Vision graphic came on the screen, and just made me want to like break my TV or hope that like Penny's character, when we see an alternate timeline in the future where Penny has died, I was like, well,
her vlog thing.
And her vlog thing is there. Yeah.
Her vlog thing is there. I'm like, you know what?
20 years later, it's still going.
This might be a better reality than the one they're in. So, I don't know, a bunch of stuff's going on. They come across a ghost spaceship.
Well, yeah, they hyperdrive.
They hyperdrive and they end up just lost in space out in the middle of nowhere. And then suddenly, like, a portal opens up in space. It's like a rip in the space-time continuum caused by the hyperdrive, maybe? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But they see in there, there's, like, ship.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So they like, go through the bubble. Yeah. Even though William Hurt's like, no, don't do it. And Matt Long's like, I'm doing it. And they just go through the bubble into the different time...
Well, this is one of two compliments I'm going to pay this movie. There are a couple of interesting concepts that this movie toys with, but then doesn't do a lot with, which is alternate timelines or alternate realities or time jumps and paradoxes. But then it just sort of like throws up the white flag and doesn't really do anything with him, because there's a point where I'm like, oh, they're seeing the future and rescue you, like you're like, but I think if you asked all the characters at the end, I'm not even sure all of them are aware that they were in an alternate timeline.
I think it's just the future.
Or the future timeline.
That's what drives me crazy about these types of movies, because they jumped to the future.
Yeah.
But they came out of hyperdrive right onto this ship.
Yeah.
So then the ship must have known they were there at one point to go there in the past, but they just came out of it and saw it, so that means they had to have seen it before.
What?
No. They're seeing...
Time travel movies, I freaking hate them.
Well, they just happen to go through this time port, which you're right. One of the problems
they come out exactly
They don't explain why this bubble happened to be right in front of them very well, or why this time bubble is right there, but they go into this time bubble, and then they're in the future.
I mean, this isn't exactly 2001. It's lost space.
I know, but still.
Well, and they do see, and another cool idea that the movie does very little with is the idea of ghost spaceships is a cool idea, of haunted spaceships. It's why, like, I still think The Black Hole holds up to pretty well as a movie, because it's just like, ooh, creepy abandoned spaceships make for good sci-fi movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then everyone, like, they just decide to go onto this creepy spaceship, even though, like, Mom Robinson is like, there might be life forms on there.
Right.
They go on. They immediately start seeing organic material dripping from the ceiling. No one seems concerned.
Well,
no.
And I guess what's the concept of bringing your prisoner on board, too? You want to keep an eye on him?
I didn't.
And then you don't keep an eye on him?
I can't remember what they said.
He's locked away safely on the ship.
I think I don't know if they just want to leave him on the ship with the kids. I don't know.
Okay, but then keep an eye on him.
Yeah, because they don't.
He
keep
told
him.
They kind of wander. He told the robot to keep an eye on him.
Yeah,
the robot is Will, though.
I know.
Will is controlling the robot.
He said, "Will, make sure keep an eye on him."
Yeah, after you already got the thing.
No, it's before that. But then he goes back and get it. Whatever else is distracted by the video.
Right. Yeah.
This is another cool idea that I thought. That the movie didn't, and the TV show toyed with, and the movie didn't really toy with, which is Professor or Dr. Smith or whatever is a villain, but he's stuck in this situation where he can't survive without the Robinsons. So could it be this kind of awkward, like, well, I've got to help you, but neither of us trust each other, which they kind of do in the very, like, early part of the movie.
Right.
But then they don't do it, and then it just goes away, and it's just like, nope, Dr. Smith is just a straight-up villain.
Right. Destroy, stop the movie.
Oh, no, from the future. It's future Brian Miller.
I have been reprogrammed to destroy this podcast.
We just hit the time travel section.
Whoa.
Well, cut that part out. That was the sound of me being reprogrammed to not destroy the podcast and instead join it.
And the thing is, like, when this hit, too, it was like, okay, video game, you know.
Well, it's also
let's market
off
the video game to the youngsters here.
Well, it's also ripping off. They ripped off Star Wars earlier. Now they go into a weird stretch where they want to rip off Aliens, strangely. But then they're like, ooh, this is a kid's movie. Let's get out of this.
Let's get LARP in there.
LARP.
Oh, is that the name? I couldn't tell what name they gave it.
It was just Blarp because it's a sound made.
Yeah.
But I don't know what, I mean, was that from the, there was a like a creature from the show, right?
At some point they did, yeah.
Which is just like a monkey.
It's like a monkey or something at some point.
But
you didn't have to bring it into
but
that.
But he didn't do, it didn't do anything.
Well, the thing is, you watch the deleted scenes, there's more Blarp in it.
I don't think the deleted scenes are on my...
There's more Blarp. I
got a sickness.
I know it doesn't.
There's more
Blarp. The only prescription. There's more Blarp.
It's funny because I remember I did watch one of them and the CG on like the... Just like the early stuff they're doing, it's just like concept stuff looks almost as good as the CG in the actual movie because the CG in the actual movie is so bad.
Did they forget to give Barb a storyline? Because there is no storyline, is there? It's just
it's almost
like
just like Penny adopted him as like, oh, I'm happy now on the mission because I got Blarp.
That's it, right?
It seems like Blarp. Yeah.
Okay.
Like, in the second movie there was supposed to be.
Blarp origin story.
There's supposed to be like
a gritty origin story.
There's supposed to be more stuff with Penny and Blarp and like their relationship or whatever. Her like you know.
Okay.
What I can't remember exactly what it was, but they just never made the second movie because this one didn't.
It would have been so awesome if that thing. I was expecting it to turn at some point. Yeah. Like because they had that teeth. I thought at one point it might like actually like.
I thought I remembered it doing it when I was watching it. I thought I remembered it doing that from when I was a kid, but it didn't.
I liked how
I
Robinson...
thought it turned on like Dr. Smith at one point or something.
Yeah, like because all the Robinsons are just like, yeah, there's an alien. That's cool.
Take that with us.
Hey, young daughter, why don't you just take that? Don't need to quarantine it or anything. Yeah. Just bring an alien in. You know,
they can put its suction fingers on our faces.
I'm sure it's not going to metamorphosis into anything else or anything.
Right.
Don't worry.
We're probably fine. And then, okay, so we've seen this movie inspire Interstellar with the concept of time travel and father issues, like in alternate timelines. Now we also see it inspire Avatar as Will is controlling the robot right. In like... You know, exactly like Sam Worthington is in Avatar.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, everything goes back to this movie.
Yeah, that one part was okay. Like, as bad as this movie was, like, that was, like, at 1998, that was a pretty novel concept, I feel like.
I feel like they shouldn't have done it, though, because, like, the robot should have been its own. Because a robot tries to kill the whole family, and then it doesn't really do anything on its own until the end of the movie.
Right.
Yeah.
But it should have been the robot was with him, and he was, you know, he helped out, or he was doing the heroic action or whatever. But it was just like Will playing
video games.
Yeah.
I thought the effect was pretty cool.
Oh, it was good. The effect was
good.
Yeah. I think
I did like when he's like when the robot's talking like a 10-year-old kid.
Mom
says, "Get the hell out of there." I thought that was
that was kind of funny.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. I think that's the only reason they did it that way, because they wanted to play on that comedy that robot voice talking like that.
Like a kid.
I like, though, how they're running back and they shut the hall doors and the spiders start eating away.
Well, cause
and they all kind of stop and watch them eat away at the door instead of keeping running.
Yeah.
They're like staring and watching. They wait till they eat away the door, and then they run.
Yeah,
to try to get to the other door.
Because the ship is full of giant spiders.
Yeah,
exactly. And they're being.
Well, we skipped over. We should mention that they find a video of his bud there.
His scratchy voiced bud. Yeah.
Who is like, you know, 20 years older now or whatever, and he's like, "Oh, we're looking for Don. He would look for me too." It's clear that this is like in the future and.
Yeah.
There was a rescue mission that set out, and then they're all.
It's clear to us, but not to them.
I don't think it's ever clear.
I don't know. Seriously, kids, stop smoking. I'm not kidding around. Don't remember me by this voice.
Well, at least his voice didn't get any worse in the 20 years.
Yeah, my grave had like a stoma.
I still got this hook. Don't worry.
So yeah, the spiders are attacking, and they're just running away, and they get back onto the Jupiter 2.
And then the spiders are just like now.
I like that every time I put that down, it sounds like an explosion. But
now the.
That's what she said?
I don't know.
Questionable.
Sounds like an explosion.
That's like a mustard.
You got like some.
The sound that's all I can.
Pop rocks in the bedroom or something?
It's an wow. Experience. Oh, and
yeah, just like.
I think there's medicine for that, Andy.
Yeah. There's so much wrong. Be glad this is an audio podcast and not a video podcast.
Except AY, this should be also video.
Yeah, probably for that moment.
This is what the podcast has been missing for the past 3 months.
Yeah. Wow. So, Dr. Smith gets scratched by a spider. And then all the spiders...
I like there. It was like very slow motion of him getting scratched by a spider. And then to drive it home more, he's like, I think totally ADR. He's like, I got scratched by a spider.
Yes.
There we go. Well, because I feel like they added that in after. Because when I first saw it, I'm like, wait, what just happened? Like, it's like a super zoomed in like shot. It's And everyone's wearing the same suit, so you can't tell who got hit.
That was definitely an ADR line. You know that they did a test
Dr. Smith,
screening.
Got scratched by a spider.
We got a bunch of notes saying people don't know how Dr. Smith got hit by a spider.
It's like that scene that later, when they explain it all, they're like, wait, what happened?
Yeah.
I missed that.
Again, I like this. It's the year 21, whatever. And Will wants to save the robot's memory or something, his personality.
He has to download it.
Yes.
So he grabs a CD.
Yeah. Yeah.
Puts it on a CD.
Get an optical disc. So they're escaping. They get into their ship, but now the spiders are on the outside of the ghost ship somehow.
Well, they're starting to. They get onto the Jupiter too.
Right, and they're just two.
Because they're attracted to heat and metal or something.
Heat
or
and metal.
Heat.
And light.
So they're
and light.
Oh, maybe it was heat and light. But they like to eat metal. So they're trying to eat through the ship.
And in a weird throwaway line, they also like to eat themselves.
Didn't these spiders get there on a ship, too?
They did. What spider was piloting their ship?
What was piloting? How did they do that?
I'm the captain spider.
Can you imagine that little spider? Yeah. Hey, boys, you ready? Put on in.
There's a little corn cob fight. Well, the good thing about a spider pilot is it has 8 legs, so it can probably control all the things. Don't need a co-pilot. I didn't think about that.
Be a much better pilot than Matt LeBlanc's friend there.
No, that's true. Yeah.
Wait, so what was so that ship there? That was the rescue ship.
Yeah.
Yes.
That.
In
but
the
where
future.
Did the spiders come from?
They was the other because they're that other ship.
That was a second.
Where Matt LeBlanc's like that was not ours.
Okay.
Yeah. I got it.
They throw a lot of exposition at you. So Matt LeBlanc...
So if the spiders have a little metal ship, will they eat their own ship too or no?
I think...
I don't understand.
It must not be light
it's got heat. No, there's no light and heat. So
there's
won't
no
eat
light.
Maybe
it's
that monkey thing drove the spiders there.
Blarf.
Blarf. Captain Blarf.
Captain Blarf. He was
Captain
driving
Blarf.
It.
So they decide to light the engines on the
Proteus,
the other ship, so that the spiders will be attracted to that. So they do, and the spiders leave the Jupiter 2, and then Matt LeBlanc wants to blow the ship.
You'd never leave an enemy behind.
Yeah, and
strongholds.
William Craig,
General Robinson.
You blow
up
ship when you're really close to it, too.
Yeah. Why
did he just wait?
He's like 5 meters away.
Yeah.
Torpedoes!
Because Professor Robinson's like, no!
Yeah, wait,
Matt LeBlanc's like, you're not the boss of me.
You're not my dad.
You're everyone else's dad, but not mine.
So he blows the ship, and of course it predictably sends their ship plummeting to the planet below.
Yeah.
Right.
Because yes, I was a little confused why they were crashing.
What,
the whole time they're crashing, they're fighting about whether or not he should have blown up the ship too.
Well, yeah, that's what didn't make any sense. Like, they show all these other times where, like, they go through the sun, okay, but then this little explosion, like, causes them to crash land. Like,
well, right. I thought they were going away from the planet.
I thought
so. Why did they bring it back? I don't know.
I didn't understand where. I have a note here on, like, where it just says knowing where they're crashing would have made this a lot more compelling.
Well, they don't know. They're lost.
I guess. Well, I was even like, is this a planet? Is this still in the time bubble?
It's a planet within the time bubble.
And then there's still in the future. Then there's a separate time bubble.
There's a future in the future.
There's a time bubble within the time bubble.
Future bubbles in the future bubbles.
Yeah. Yeah,
there's no past bubbles.
Past is outside.
Past is gone.
Future in the future.
Okay. Past is in the past.
Yeah, and I think one of the great things is all of us got to spend 3 minutes watching Heather Graham and Matt LeBlanc draw Porky Pig and Bugs Bunny.
See, but this is a scene that I
fogged up window.
This is a scene that I found funny because he's like, Matt LeBlanc's like, he's coming around and he's like,
it's a callback.
All right, we're stuck here. I'm gonna be a nice guy, and you know, I'm not gonna be the sleaze anymore. And she finally like warms up to him, and then he's like, right away, he's like, so your cabin or mine?
He's you want bang?
Yeah,
she's like, you want to do it right here? I'm like, roller girl, let's go, come on. Yeah.
I just like, I still like that. He's like, finally, you know, and then he just immediately goes back to being a sleaze when he's any inkling that she's interested in him.
I guess that's
he's
true.
Just like this dumb, like, I don't know. Yeah. I always thought that was funny.
It was funny when you had a 12-year-old kid there watching a movie with you. I remember being like, oh, this is funny.
Hey, was
sex talk.
98? Yeah, I was dumb.
See?
Yeah. Josh was 10. I was 11.
Josh was 10. And there was the guys, Matt LeBlanc, say, hey, you want to bang here on that console?
What do they mean, Andy? Yeah.
Dad, what does that mean? That guy asked for a handy. What's that? So they're now crashed on a planet, and there's like a line where, like, even Professor Robinson's like, well, look, there just happens to be another one of those time bubbles here.
Okay.
And I'm like, what?
Here's another thing about time travel that drives me freaking nuts, time movies. The Jupiter 2.
You don't understand.
Here we got it right here.
The concept of
the Jupiter 2 crashes here. There's a bubble here, but that Jupiter 2 is now inside this bubble way over here on the planet.
Well, the time bubble is expanding.
Bullshit. No, it's not expanding. It doesn't
make bullshit.
This.
Don't tell me the time bubble is expanding.
Here's where it crashed. So it should be here in that future, not over here.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Maybe we'll try to take off and it crashed again.
I don't know.
Did they say that?
No, they did say something like throwaway line, like, oh, what did he say? Something about time continuum and
it is feasible
that they could be different things going on, and you know, I don't know, they tried to explain it, but it's like, no, this all happened, so this has to happen again.
The
and if it doesn't happen
a little bit,
the second Will comes back on the ship, that Will's gone, because whole future doesn't happen.
That's
so he can
true.
Just look at himself going, hey, bye.
Yeah,
that didn't change yet.
It has to change.
It didn't change yet, though.
It didn't change. I did enjoy it. So everyone's like, so Professor Robinson's like, there's another one of those time bubbles in front of us. All right, let's figure out what to do. And Will's like, hey, Dad, remember, what about my time machine? And he's like, shut up.
Shut up, kid.
He's like, I don't have time for this.
Yeah. I have a note here. I'm like, the kid did invent time travel. You might want to talk to him.
And
about
he is like a legitimate like member of like the science team on this ship, too. Like,
right, he's building robots and shit.
Yeah,
like,
he's an actual.
Yeah, he's not just his kid. He's like an actual member of the team.
Right. Yeah.
He should be.
A lot more member of the team than the daughter that just makes little videos. Watch.
Penny Vision. She's executive producer of Penny Vision. this is where everything gets kind of split up, right? Is this where...
They decide to go into the time bubble.
Okay.
Because they need something from in there to get back in the...
The
hyperdrive
thing,
protoplasm,
right?
Whatever. Radioactive.
From what, though?
It's still in the old Jupiter 2. They don't know it's in the old Jupiter 2.
But they're just, like, picking it up on their radar?
Scan that says, oh, hey, there's what we need right there.
Dilithium crystals.
Thank God they crashed there at that specific time, because
yeah.
What if they crashed there, like, you know, 10 years before he's done building the time machine?
Well, they didn't take off 10 years before.
who don't question time bubbles.
What?
Time bubbles.
I'm telling you, if you want to ever just put yourself into like a berserker rage, watch Sound of Thunder. You will go crazy with the logistic, like time travel logistical issues.
So there was a great payoff near the end of the movie.
Yeah.
With the fish person.
That's right. Yeah.
There was a pot of gold at the end of that.
Was it? At a very Shoot long rainbow.
With a crisp rainbow.
So, so the father and
Matt LeBlanc.
He has a heart-to-heart with Will first, gives him his dog. Yeah, he's like, I'll care about you later. I still have things to do, basically.
And like, even in their heart-to-heart, he's still, pushing things off the way.
It's like, later on.
I'll be back. We'll talk about this later.
I'll be a valid dad someday. Not today.
Yeah. So he gives him his dog tags, which were his father's. Because he said, whenever my father left on a mission or whatever, he gave me his dog tags, and I'd give them back when he came back, so here's my dog tags.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then they go off into the bubble.
Yeah.
And Will continues to build the robot.
Yeah, he's trying to rebuild the robot.
Will inspires Chappie by putting a personality into a robot giving it emotions. I'm telling you, everything comes from this movie.
They could have done it a little better. It would have been a classic.
Yeah.
And I like what they did here with the Danger Will Robinson thing, because they hear, tapping. And the robot's like, it's old Morse code. And Will Robinson's like, what's it say? And he's like, danger, danger, Will Robinson. Because it's Dr. Smith trying to get a message to trick him.
Yeah.
So Dr. Smith is saying there's danger. We got to...
Dr. Smith gives Will Robinson this long, elaborate monologue, at the end of which was my favorite line in the movie. Will Robinson going, what are you talking about? at least someone's saying it. Someone needed to say that in this film. Which finally Dr. Smith convinces Will Robinson that the two of them should go after his dad and Matt LeBlanc to help them out.
Because they went in there and they got
stunned. This was kind of cool. So another version of Robbie the Robot shoots Don West and William Hurt.
Robot.
Robot. There was a point here where I'm like, oh, maybe this is kind of cool with the whole alternate timelines thing, which, don't worry, don't get your hopes up, it's not. But for a minute there, I was like, it's kind of an interesting touch.
I like that the robot in the future looked kind of like the robot from the original
show. Yeah, it helped it a little bit. I did like that.
That helped, yeah. And then we find out that they wake up, Professor Robinson and Matt LeBlanc are now being held captive
by the robot,
by future
and Billy Mummy
and old Will Robinson.
Old Will Robinson.
And we find out that
Billy
on this, Mummy. In this future,
it's not Billy Mummy.
It's Billy Mummy.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it's not.
No, it's what's his name?
Jared Harris.
I always thought it was Billy Mummy.
No, it's Billy Mummy.
I thought Billy Mummy did that.
No, it's Richard Harris's son.
Wow.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What was Billy Mummy in? I thought he was in it somewhere.
I don't think he was.
No, I'll have to watch again.
Or maybe he was one of the military people. I know Don West was one of the military
people. Huh, okay, I thought.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
No, it's Jared Harris.
Yeah. In this alternate future, Penny, Judy, and the mom all died.
All dead.
By the spiders.
Yeah. Killed spiders vaguely by spiders. And old Will Robinson is now a super douchey kid with massive daddy issues, overwhelming daddy issues. Where at this point I'm like, this is Interstellar. He's playing old Will Robinson as Jessica Chastain. This is exactly where this is going. And it's like swinging between like goofy and serious at this point. Like the tonal shifts are pretty troubling, like to try to keep pace with this movie, because there's like kind of like zingers and like that 50s voice like doing like, danger Will Robinson, I'm a computer but I have emotions, and then meanwhile you have this complicated alternate timelines sci-fi storyline going on with the
other
characters.
When his dad and Don West went in the bubble, they never came back.
Yeah, because they were killed, maybe?
Killed by Billy Mummy, or
by Spider Smith.
But then they weren't. Because they were...
Right, so they came back.
I don't... See, that's all bullshit.
At the minute, they come back at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
I
can't stand this movie.
So Professor Smith steals a gun from...
Yeah, what did happen to those guys in the alternate
future? I think they're just killed by... I think what
they're... Because they made a point of saying the ladies got killed.
Right, by the spiders, but they say they might.
They never explain what happened to the fellas.
Well, they were already dead, because that's how Smith, like, became surrogate father to...
Right, they were dead already, so...
Yeah.
But they never weren't, say because how he died.
They just saw, one saw died. Old Will there, so they didn't...
But they, old but Will, they were old killed Will. In that future, in a different future.
They just don't explain how, I guess.
Yeah.
They didn't even make him a tombstone like they did the other
people. Yeah, no,
yeah.
Disrespect.
Daddy issues, like I said.
Mm. And so, in Gary Oldman steals the gun from young Will Robinson. He's coming in, and he's about to be like, ha-ha, you thought you were in charge. No, I'm going to take this time travel device that young, that Will... Old Will Robinson has been building.
The other Dr. Smith is like, ha-ha, no.
Ha-ha.
Ha-ha-ha.
You thought me was in charge? Yeah,
this
charge.
Is totally a trespass.
Yeah. So then future Dr. Smith throws Gary Oldman Dr. Smith down like a cliff for reasons that aren't totally clear.
Yeah, I don't know why he'd want to kill himself earlier, because that seems like it would kill him.
Because that's what I'm saying.
He didn't kill him, though. So that's...
I know, but if he did...
Right, yeah, I didn't understand why he was doing that. It seems like he would want to protect that guy. Right.
You'd think so.
Or be like, hey, let's fix your spider bite, because so you don't become this monster that I am.
Right. Because now we find out that future Dr. Smith is like a spider-human hybrid, because due to that spider bite caused him to mutate. And he's a monster. And just now, apparently 25 years later, old Will Robinson is like,
wait a minute.
Hey.
What really happened to my sisters?
You said spiders killed my sisters.
You're a spider.
I think he's an idiot. Yeah.
You know, I just noticed you look like a spider.
Yeah.
And Will Robinson... He deprograms a robot because he convinces him to love and feel.
No, he taught him friendship.
He taught him friendship.
So he used that to override Dr.
So it was another one of these movies where it was like, just fight it. Yeah. Fight it.
To overcome your programming. This is a little Wall-E inspired by this as well.
So the robot.
Professor Robinson tells Matt LeBlanc and young Will Robinson, get out of here.
I'm going to get the protoplasm, whatever the hell it is.
Whatever, yeah.
And you guys, I'll meet you back at the ship.
Right. So
they go outside, find Dr. Smith, and they take him.
Why do they take Dr.
No
Smith?
No man left behind.
He has tried to kill them so many times in this.
Yeah, 10 minutes before this, he tried it again.
There's no reason, even within the world of this movie, to not kill him.
Because even logically, you'd be like, okay, that's what he turns into, so maybe we don't want that
on our ship.
We just saw our future.
We don't know a cure for this spider.
And in fact,
so.
Matt LeBlanc is like risking his life to save him.
Yeah. Right.
And I'm like, this is dumb.
And then... Judy puts up the...
A flare that shapes like
a bunny for some
reason. Or Bugs Bunny, that's what it was.
Yeah. Bugs
it's like, couldn't there have been better uses of her time when evacuating a crumbling planet than putting together a Bugs Bunny
flare? Why does it have to be Bugs Bunny, too? It's like, if Matt Bugs
how would you even do that as a flare?
I know, but it could be anything. Just a flare would be like, oh, there it is.
Yeah, because like, if it's a normal flare, Matt LeBlanc would be like, oh, that's...
After he just tried to, like, have sex with her crudely. All right, I'll throw him a bone.
Right, Can't you imagine what's going on the ship with, like, Mimi Rogers being like, Jody, what are you doing? Leave me alone, bro! I know what I'm doing! This is going to look great.
This is really going to pay off. Yeah.
Hold on, I've got the texturing almost done.
It's got to render now. I'm just making a couple more.
So now there's like a showdown between the Smith spider turns on old Will Robinson too, right? Isn't this where
because old Will Robinson figures out he's not... his whole plan was to use
25 years later he figures out that
his whole plan was to use a time machine to go back to the day they took off and say don't take off,
right?
Yes.
Dr. Smith wants to use it to go back in time to Earth and take over Earth as a spider.
Yes, he only made the hole big enough for a human to go through, not big enough for Dr. Smith to go through.
Right.
So he's like,
and why did he only make it big enough for one person?
It's only one person at one time too.
Like the guy had like 25 years. Like, he couldn't have made it for two.
Right.
Yeah, it's nice a guy. Very That's... specific. Like, did they, like, I feel like old Will Robinson then started doing inventions for James Bond, because these are very specific inventions.
Right. So now that that Dr. Smith knows that Will Robinson is onto him, he tries to kill him and throw him into the outer ring of the time portal.
Yeah. But the dog tags save him.
Yes,
his father. Oh, is that what saved him?
Yeah, yeah. They got dog. They got hung on something. He's hanging there, just far away from the protoplasm.
Boots are almost toast.
Okay, and then Professor Robinson does a callback to something that probably no one remembered, that spiders eat themselves, as he shoots like a hole in like the Smith spider.
He gave him like a paper cut.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. Where is
he cut him? He cut him in the face or something.
Yeah.
Then cut his sack open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And well, he's like, "You remember from the Proteus?" And he went to.
And I feel like even the Professor Smith character is like, "What?
That was 30 years ago.
I don't really remember."
Actually, I'm a different creature since
Will said it. Yeah, Will said it, and no one was there.
No, he was like, "Will said it. They eat their young." He's like, "How
did? What?" Yeah. John Robinson wouldn't even know about that.
Right.
I would have liked it if, like, Dr. Smith was like, "Whoa, deep pull, bro."
Where did those spiders even come from?
I think he was pregnant.
He was pregnant.
He wanted to...
It's kind of disturbing, isn't it?
He was pregnant.
There's a lot going on.
That's why he wanted to go. That's why he wanted to go back to Earth so he could take over the Earth with his
sack. How was he?
He was like, I know.
"Will, look at my sack. It's full of spiders." It's been 20 years.
"I'm going to need you to do the chores around the house."
Yeah. "Will, put some lotion on
me. I'm having some morning sickness."
Yeah.
"I'm getting stretch marks."
So then, okay, so...
How was a male spider... How does he even...
They're space spiders. Don't even... It's just... That's the way of the universe. Yeah,
I also think it's funny that, like, old Will Robinson and Dr. Smith, Space Spider Smith, were the only two people for like 25 years. They've been the only people interacting with each other, and old Will Robinson was never like, "Holy crap, you're turning into a spider. That's weird." You know? Like, this seems
weird. Are you pregnant, Dr. Smith?
Who built that cloak for you, Dr. Smith?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, what's. Yeah, I'd like to know. Yeah.
He probably spun it with his spider silk.
So then Professor Robinson saves old Will Robinson, and he pulls him up, and Professor Robinson's like, "I wasn't going to leave you." And I wanted Robinson to be like how you just left the younger version of me. We just lost like 25 years. The math on this, not great, you know, but okay.
Are we cool now?
Yeah.
So then he watches their Jupiter 2 taking off.
Yeah.
And Matt LeBlanc cannot pull away from the gravitational pull because they're in there, though.
Destroyed
protoplasm,
by...
and they're destroyed. And this is where William Hurt dug deep.
He's so like
deep. I felt the emotion.
It looked like he forgot. He realized he forgot.
Couldn't save them.
Yeah,
and he couldn't muster up a tear.
It looked like he realized he forgot to turn off the oven or something. Right. Oh.
And then, but it took me.
All right,
damn.
It took me a second as a viewer to be like, he just watched his family get blown up. I feel more invested in this than he does.
Yeah. He really was a cold asshole.
Yeah. So then old Will Robinson, he's like, "I've got a solution. I've been working this time machine my whole life. You know what we'll just do? I'll send you back in time 4 minutes. And possibly the least effective use of time machine technology ever."
So literally like 10 seconds before the asteroid blows up the whole ship is where he gets invested.
Because he could still go back.
Right.
He could still go back
at any time.
And be like, "Hey, he's on the ship right now. Go check it."
I know. I was like, why didn't they
send... And avoid everything.
Right.
Yeah.
But no, he's going to continue to be lost in space.
Yeah. That would have saved the entire human race because they would have built the hyperdrive. A gate or whatever.
There's so many better times he could have gone back to. And I think the movie was like, "Oh, if we do that, there's going to be two Professor Robinsons." They had to like think of a way where they could do it where they weren't going to end up with two Professor Robinsons. But I was like, yeah, this is still also just a dumb use of time travel. Right. And you get that great line from old Will Robinson where he's like, "Don't make me wait another lifetime to know how you feel." It's pretty on the nose. All right, okay. Professor Robinson goes into the time portal?
They're once again trying to get out of, because they went back in time.
Yeah.
And they're trying to get away from the gravitational pull, and they're like, one of the girls looks back and goes, "Hey, look!" And he drops through the ceiling.
Yeah.
and then they're all looking up at old Will.
Oh,
like, hey guys!
The look on Lacey Charbet's face when she's looking at old Will and young Will. Whoever directed her in that moment should just...
I don't remember it.
You're not going to see it because it's not a video, but she plays it like this. Like, with about that level of subtlety. Like, there's none.
It was like the Three Stooges school of acting.
It might as well have been, like...
two of them?
You know how, like, in Looney Tunes when, like, multiple eyeballs pop out? Like, it's the human equivalent of that.
I thought she was also just kind of shocked at how ugly he got. Yeah. Like, oh, God.
Is that Billy Mummy?
Yeah. And he just throws in, like, old Will Robinson's like, hey, it's good to see you, Mom!
I'm glad you're not dead.
Yeah. See, you're dead in my world.
It seems like
Dr. Smith killed you, I think.
Don't you feel
he's
like
pregnant now,
I'm
by the way.
Not sure.
He's having little spider babies.
He's going in with spiders. There's a ton of them in there. Yeah. Don't you feel like he could have just jumped through?
Yeah.
Like, I don't
know. He's in room for one.
Because it's closing, but if
I know,
he jumped
still
through,
there. Maybe,
yeah.
Maybe he ripped up.
They
or
have
something.
Like a whole conversation.
I know. It seems like he could just jump through it.
But I think going back to Lacey Chabert there, I think there's actually a line where she's like, it's Will. I think there's actually
yes,
like an video line to go with her.
Yeah. And then so...
But I do like your shoe. Again, another moment that always makes me laugh is they're all like, oh, you're alive. Oh, it's great. Yeah, you're alive. And then it cuts to Matt LeBlanc, who's like, you know, the planet's still breaking apart here. We should probably get going.
I was thinking the same thing. Yeah. They're like,
they're taking a lot of time. Yeah.
I think it would have been funny then.
They're butt ready to crash. Yeah. And
I think it would have been funny then if then like Hurt's character was just like, forgot what he just watched and then they just tried the same thing again. Alright, let's go. Yeah. And then like as they're about to explode, damn it.
No, I forgot.
Wait, do we have another time machine?
There's one of the great line William Hurt line readings of all time, because he's like, alright, we gotta do something different. But then he just stares like blankly at Don West and it's like, what are we gonna do? And Don West is just staring at him. And then William Hurt's like, I wrote this down. We have to go down through the planet. It's breaking
to
up.
To the planet's core.
Yes.
Is the word down underlined like 14 times on his script?
Exclamation points.
Yeah.
But it's funny, really too, hit this.
Yeah. It seems like such like a brilliant idea to him, but it's like you just went through the sun like yesterday. Like it should be fresh in your mind. Like, hey, we can go through the planet too. Like we just did the sun.
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah. To him, it's like this, oh, let's go through it. We've never done that before.
Yeah. And we get, like, just a very 98 CGI, like, flying through asteroids, like, da-da-da.
Luckily, there's a nice tunnel going through on the other side.
Yeah, yeah, that planet was
worked
really
out perfectly.
It was essentially hollow.
It was like, there was a waterfall inside.
Yeah, why was there a waterfall inside a planet? That didn't make sense, but I feel like that was just kicking around from something else. They're like, throw it in.
Yeah. It's already rendered.
Yeah.
So they break through the other side of the planet, and the planet explodes just in time.
Yes.
When they're just out of it. And
yes.
And of course, they're still too close to the planet.
But yeah, they are. He expresses his love for Will and all that, and they do all that stuff right.
And Heather Graham like sucks like Matt LeBlanc's face off.
She gives him
And then I think it's Doctor. Is it Doctor Smith or is it?
Oh, Matt LeBlanc.
The robot.
Oh,
it might be the robot.
Yeah. Yeah, robot says there's still
like,
danger or whatever he says. Yeah,
yeah.
And
it's like we're still
into a black hole.
Yeah.
So they're getting sucked into a black hole. So they do the hyperdrive, I think, again, right?
Yeah.
And
then did anyone listen to the music over the end credits?
It's like a remix of the.
Because I finally heard that music from the show.
I didn't mind the music and like the remix and the techno thing. What I hated was the lines from the movie. It's like and it's like. Punch it. We have to go through the sun. It's like all these like snippets of lines from Matt LeBlanc, and it's like that was ridiculous.
But actually, the music after. Did you
watch
the rest
as
of the music in that.
Well, then it goes into like Lost in Space hip hop.
Yeah, some rap hip hop.
But I remember as a kid, even like in the theater.
Lost in Space.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
But I remember as a kid in the theater when the music came up at the end. Like I liked it as a kid too. It was like
I finally got to hear this music.
It was like 2 hours long. My brain felt like mashed potatoes. Like I was like dreading when this movie would end. When they were like, "There's still danger. There's a black hole." I'm like, "Oh my god!" I pressed like time remaining on my PlayStation. I was so scared.
Obviously, they're gonna make
it. This was set up. I think it was supposed to be like three of them, and the second one there was continuing from that point on.
What a shame.
Well, 20 years later, we still haven't seen it. So I don't think it's going to
happen. Looking good.
Yeah.
One of these days, we're going to get that Super Mario Brothers sequel and Lost in Space sequel.
It will happen. Yeah.
Well, it's sad. I mean, they could have done a better job with it, and it could have had some life, but
I still enjoy it. I don't hate it.
It is not the worst movie we've seen for this podcast.
No, Lady in the Water is the worst one I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Oh, The Happening.
No.
Let's not get in.
Guys, we can all agree. M. Night Shyamalan produced the worst thing we've seen.
Yes.
All right, let's do a round of...
And it looks like his new one, wait.
With grandparents.
I'm pretty sure we're doing that.
There's some new one with like some grandparents.
It's like found footage again or something like that too, isn't it? Yeah, the grandparents have the kids for a weekend.
Kids
or
go to spend the weekend at their grandparents, and the grandparents appear to be monsters.
Funny thing where he's trying to get like the grandchild, get in the oven, honey, trying to get the grandkid.
That movie or a TV?
Yeah, it's a movie.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
If he did something like that, it's just, you know, stupid and fun. It's like, you know, it's not super serious like The Happening or the After Earth or whatever.
Yeah.
And just, maybe it's
Lady in the Water.
Well, yeah, it's such as it is. All right, let's do a quick round of Is It So Bad It's Good. Let's start with Cody. Okay. Cody, you chose this movie.
I have two copies of the DVD over here.
Wow.
I have the Jupiter 2 sitting right here.
Yeah.
Is that like the movie Jupiter 2 or the TV show?
No, it's from the movie.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I got it when I was a kid after I saw the movie. I enjoyed the movie when I was a kid, and I still, every time I watch it, I'm like, it's a dumb movie, but I like some of the characters. I like the movie.
It's dumb. Is it a Christmas present? It might have been Christmas.
Maybe it was.
Well, when bought it?
I think, the movie came out like in the summer, so I think I got it like right after the movie.
Right.
All right, Andy, your thoughts?
It is so bad, it's good. I got on Blu-ray because I saw, we were doing the podcast, it's $5. It's like, I have watched it a couple times. But yeah, I mean, some of the stuff is so comical.
Yeah. Brian, what do you
This has two actors that I really like, no matter how bad they can be.
Macy Charbet and Matt LeBlanc?
No, Matt LeBlanc's actually on there. Like, I find Matt LeBlanc strangely captivating, even when he's terrible in the movies. And Gary Oldman, like, it doesn't matter how terrible the movie he's in.
Oh, he's going is, to
He's
off.
Always, yeah, like, right. watchable. So, God, I hate to say this, but it might be.
I kind of... This was watchable. It was a weird mix of, like, sometimes this was, like, not that bad, and then at other times it was so bad it was good. At other times it was kind of frustrating. I don't know. Like, this was... I could watch this again. I would watch this with kids.
Yeah, and I think, like, the story from A to Z, it had a path.
It does.
It wasn't this crazy going off in different directions. It's kind of like it had a path.
Yeah. And they get... Yeah.
It
yeah,
brings
yeah.
up...
And you know why things are happening.
Right. Yeah, you know why things are happening. It brings up interesting ideas.
Not like the next
ideas.
Movie we're going to review in a few minutes here.
Oh, yes. There are things in common, but that is one of the big... Yeah. This has an actual storyline that it follows. And I did not need to access Wikipedia while watching it to understand even the basics of what my eyes were looking at.
Except for I'm still confused by the whole spider pregnancy, but
that,
I'll let that
is
go.
Pretty valid. Yeah,
we'll let you deal with that on your
Google
own time.
Google spider pregnancy, see what happens.
Alien spider pregnancy.
I kind of want a movie to be made, not a sequel to that one, but like the spider and old Will Robinson, like an odd couple, like situational comedy. Now that would have been hilarious. Like when he brings like a date home and then like spider.
Wouldn't that be great? Old Will Robinson's like, webs again? Come on.
Yeah. Did you have to kill my girlfriend?
Yeah. Oh.
I know she had a cut in her leg, but you didn't have to eat her.
All right, I think that brings this one to a close.
You're
coming up.
Hyperdrive here.
Hitting hyperdrive. There danger. Is. Oh,
oh
there you go, hyperdrive.
Wow.
This one undoing it, though.
Oh, cool.
Well, this had the missile in it, I think.
Oh, it,
okay. Oh, wow.
Missiles
weren't.
It
doesn't work.
That's pretty.
They shot it out of there, I think.
This toy's pretty fancy. Okay. All right.
Where's the part where Matt LeBlanc and Heather Graham have sex?
I think it's...
It's right in there.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, little, there they are.
There's a little, yeah.
There was a little Matt LeBlanc in there. There's not anymore.
Well, what can
there
you do?
There was a little Matt LeBlanc in there.
There's a little Matt LeBlanc in my heart, though. Mm-hmm. So.
Yep. All right, coming up.
There it is.
Oh, there it is.
Ooh,
there it is.
Jupiter,
look at that missile.
Oh!
It's loaded.
Wow. Wait, for the first time in real time on this show, Rocket. Rocket was fired.
You caught me such by surprise. No one even said
no
anything.
No one even thought to yell it. Yeah.
I didn't know actually anything was in there.
Yeah. That's why. See, now we understand what it was like.
Sorry.
You meant the weirdest. That's what she said. Real quick, if you get a chance, if you like this show, please give us a positive review on iTunes. It helps in the crazy algorithm that
has
is the Apple Corporation.
You always say that. Has it helped at all?
Oh, yeah. We have positive reviews. Yeah. We appreciate every positive review.
Checked up
reviews
on the website and the iTunes.
Well, we're still waiting for him to listen to an episode. We got to take baby steps.
One of these days.
No, I'll do it one day.
Yeah, leave us a positive review or listen to it.
Yeah, man, leave us something. Or if you don't like it, don't leave a positive review. Just leave a review.
It just takes a second. Right, it does help the show. It is very beneficial to us. And coming up, we are going to tease it. I know, normally we don't tease episodes anymore, but we have actually all seen this movie, and we're going to be recording it very quickly. Jupiter Ascending.
Not all of us.
Jupiter 2 Ascending.
Oh, that's right.
Andy Wolf. Ascending?
No.
I gotta get out of here.
Yeah, he's got to get on out of here. But Jupiter Ascending.
I would have loved
next
to get his thoughts on that.
Oh,
I mean,
God,
he was so confused.
You would have been, you would
if
have
this
been
movie
so
confused
angry.
Yeah.
You would have been furious. I mean, because I was really like,
no,
at point, yeah.
I'm not going to rent that one then.
Don't rent that one.
I don't think you should rent it. It looks, well, tune, you know what? Listen to our episode.
Okay.
That was your first episode.
Be sure to tune in. Yeah.
And I'll judge it off of that if I watch it.
You can judge it off of that. So we'll be back very soon, and we'll see you back here. Bye.
Danger, Will Robinson.